time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here. Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, from the Freedoms Phoenix Studios. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. Now, what we're going to do today is a little continuation of what we had done yesterday. Now, yesterday we had introduced ourselves. I got to tell you a little bit about myself and how we're going to use the right... Oh, you know, right, wrong, that's not the point. The common terminology. I mean, when we say a word, I just want to make sure we know what it means. And if we need to, you know, get into that each time, you know, a caller calls in and says, well, what do you mean by this or that? We got to get this down so that you understand, because not necessarily the same connotation of a phrase or a word with me would be the same as another host, you know, so we want to make sure we have a common language here so that we can understand each other. And let me tell you how we're going to, you know, add to that. We're going to layer to that today. What we're going to do is we're going to go through some movie clips. And what happens is I use movies often because they're a common theme. I remember there was a Next Generation Star Trek episode where they had Jean-Luc Picard out in the middle of space, and they got guys, of course, everybody and all the aliens speak English nowadays, but, you know, what happened was they were speaking in metaphors. It was like talking to Shakespeare or something. Take off thy cloak of night, you know? I mean, you know, take off your black robe is what he's saying, but, you know, the thing is that they speak like that, but unless you know Shakespeare or you've seen the visual of it or experienced it, you have no idea what they're talking about. And what they had done in that episode, they went to a planet, they just put the two captains on there, and they just kind of figured it out, the language. Well, we're going to try and, you know, bypass that and shortcut that by using movie clips, because libertarians, people of a certain mindset, see the world differently. I'll give you an example. You'll watch something like The Matrix, blockbusting, big, giant, humongous, oh my goodness movie. What happens, though, is that you'll look at it and you go, I like it. I don't really know why I like it, but I like it. Or you'll go, oh, I know exactly why I like it. If you can define and use different segments and have a common understanding of what it is, you can just refer to something and boom, you're done. You go, yeah, it's just like Wag the Dog. You know, that's just like Mel Gibson's Patriot. Oh, that's the, you know, he's just playing Longshanks Braveheart. Okay, it gives you kind of a shortcut, you know, a what do you call it? You know, a summary of everything that something is about, and kind of. Now, we're not going to be able to do that with everything because, of course, not everybody's seen these movies. But what I'm going to do is try and share with you a perspective, how we view the world. And if we can get a common understanding of what it is that we're looking at, why, where we see the future, what's happened in the past, the history, you'll find out that over time our culture has been very expressed in movies to the point that you look at what are the blockbusters. Why are they blockbusters? Why are these particular movies so important? What was it? What's the commonality? And I tell you what it is, give you the secret, because they espouse the power of the individual over the collective. Every one of these, Braveheart, Gladiator, you know, Patriot, all of these, what was so popular about them is because they made the individual the center. We are the sovereign against those that just won't leave us alone. Well, when we come back, we'll start into it. We'll start having some fun. You stay right there. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
I was...
Look again. Who is it?
What are they?
Sentient programs. Anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone, and they are no one. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
Their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
You won't have to. How is it that we're going to oppose this Goliath? You know, this machine, this beast. You know, it's one thing. You know, the Bible is really kind of summed it up. The beast. What else are you going to call it, you know? So what we're going to be doing today is we'll get into some things, but I wanted to make sure you got a concept that The Matrix is one of the movies, one of two movies that I went and saw right away for a second time, like the next day or the same day. I go, did I see what I think I saw? I think I did. And the other one was The Princess Bride. You know, I took my kids and so on. It was very, you know, entertaining. But The Matrix, when this came out, it was in the late 90s, and we all of a sudden had something that was making it clear what the Matrix really was. It's government. Government is the Matrix. So what we have is a description of how we're plugged in. We're being manipulated. We're being controlled. That's why television and radio, they call it programming. So when you have network news coming on at 5 and you're clicking between, this is how it works. In the 80s, I'm married. I just had my fourth child. It's late 80s. I'm, you know, 20-something years old. You point your remote at the television and you click ABC, NBC, CBS, even PBS. Back and forth. Boom, 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 boom. It's the same 5 stories. Now, a lot of times in the same order. I mean, I physically would actually do this. I go, you know, flick, 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 and you'd see them, and it would be talking about the same one. Then you go next door, and it'd be the same one. I mean, after a couple of times of that, how many times you got to do that? At a, you know, at the time, 250 million people or 300 million people, you get 5 stories. That's it. You know, and then you got to look, and we do that now at Freedom's Phoenix. Freedom's with an S, phoenix.com. When we go to Freedom's Phoenix, and we're looking for stories, this is what happens. We'll go up and we'll say, wow, Michael Jackson died. Britney Spears got a new belly ring. You know, there's something going on. What else was going on? What happened? If that leads the news cycle over and over and over, you got to be looking what's going on. Michael Jackson, you're going to look and see his cap and trade. You know, the Federal Reserve audit bill, Dr. Paul. You got, you know, these other things that are pushed off and distracted from because they're going, and if they have to, in the Clinton administration, they definitely did this. There's, you know, something's going to come out, boom, there was some missile strike in Iraq. You know, for 10 years we were bombing them. You know, it's like, and they don't like us? I wonder why. So the thing is that we see the manipulation in the Matrix. That's why they need you plugged in. That's why they'll do the most base, stupid stuff to keep you just watching. It was about 2003, 2004. I was doing a show. We're doing research and so on. And I have four children. They're now 19 to 23. Two boys, two girls. Two married. Well, one grandchild on the way. When they were in high school and so on, I was doing the show. And there was a statistic that came out that said for the first time, teenagers are now spending more time in front of their computers than they are television. Woo-hoo! Man! What does that mean? It's more interactive. You know, they're communicating with themselves. They, you know, a lot of things. I tell you what a big thing it means. It means they were not plugged into the matrix. They weren't getting their constant hours a day dose after they had already gotten it at school. So you're going, wow, what kind of impact does that have? I knew it to be an enormous impact because they need you plugged in. It's like when you go to the movies. I give you a good example. This is one thing. You know, this will be a campaign. One day we'll get the audience and we'll start, you know, writing letters or something. We'll get a splash. I know how to do that. We'll get some kind of national attention because I can, okay? And we'll have some fun with it. But I tell you, it's something that I think is important. I've been putting off for a long time, and I'll explain it to you why I want to do this movie show today for us to be able to communicate. When you go to see a movie, certainly if it's a comedy or it's something that has a young appeal, my kids want to take me to, you know, like The Hangover was a popular movie about, you know, bachelor party, guy goes to Vegas and stuff, and it was funny. You know, I tell you, if you want to just go have a good time, it was funny. They take me, anything that's youth-oriented, you got to sit through these trailers, and sometimes it's 10, 15 minutes of trailers. You go, you sit there after a while, you go, what movie did I come to see? I mean, holy crap, man, what the heck? So what happens is you sit there and you go, you're exposed to TV commercials. You know, they're selling the Scions. Now, this is the division of Toyota. You know, that's where they started that. That was all done in movie theater to begin with, and it just really penetrated the youth, and they started to see what kind of impact they have in the commercials and trailers for these things. But the ones that I'm complaining about are all the horror flicks. It is phenomenal how much you have the MPAA ratings that they give that. We're going to talk about that someday, too. There's a movie that was done. It's called This Movie Is Not Yet Rated. And it goes on how they determine what gets what rating. You know, it was Team America, the puppet animation thing that the guys, Parker and Stone, that do South Park, they did this movie. And it was Team America, you know. Yeah, we're going to go fight terrorism and so on. And it's puppets. And it gave an NC-17 rating for a sex scene with puppets. And I'm going, wow, really? Are you kidding me? And they kind of did it on purpose. They knew this was going to happen. They're making sure that they're going to have fun with this. But the thing is that what do they not give an NC-17? What's an R, even PG? If it's teen sex at the summer camp kind of thing, as long as you have Jason, or Friday the 13th come slash him and pin him to the floor with a spear or something, then it's okay. You know, slash and burn blood all over the lens of the movie camera. I'm just going, what is the moral base here? I'm not understanding. It's like they're trying to instill fear. They want to penetrate us with fear. And young people grow up, especially in America, I mean, what's there to be afraid of? I mean, it's just not that bad. There's no tigers roaming the street or anything. They have to inject it with news. If there wasn't the news cycle and movies and all that kind of stuff, this entire generation may not experience fear. What kind of a world would that be when if you're living vast majority of the kids, you know, yeah, we're good. If it wasn't for the government giving them a hard time, how would it be? So I want to deprogram or at least give you some insulation from being programmed. I want you to understand what it is that they're doing to you and how. And I'm tired of going to the movies and seeing horror trailers all the time. I just close my eyes and put my head down. I don't even want to listen to it. So there's a programming that's going on, and you guys are here for a reason because you can handle the truth.
You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Philadelphia, we expect a declaration of independence.
Our rights are being threatened by a tyrant 3,000 miles away.
Would you tell me, please, Mr. Howard, why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away? An elected legislature can trample a man's rights as easily as a king can. Mark my words. This war will be fought not on the frontier, or on some distant battlefield, but amongst us, among our homes. Our children will learn of it with their own eyes. And the innocent will die with the rest of us.
Yep, the innocent will die along with the rest of us. What we want to accomplish is individual freedom. I mean, I think pretty much people listening to this, that's, we got that common ideology. But how do you do that? Are we going to we freed ourselves from an empire? You know, amazing. A bunch of individual people acting as individuals freed themselves from the most powerful entity in the known universe, save God, at the time, the British Empire. Well, of course, later they just said, yeah, we'll get your money. We'll get that taken care of. But we were going down this self-governing rule. Heck, we had 10 presidents in the Articles of Confederation before we even had the Constitution. You never hear about them. You know, we'll do some studies on that. We'll have somebody come in and, you know, give us a good learning on that one. Because I definitely would like to hear more about that. Now, the thing is that you have this illusion that you have to have this collective thing. If you go through a revolution, you fight, and then you have all these violent revolutionaries in charge. You know, we won! And they're standing there, you know, with sweat and blood from their forehead, holding their rifle, and now we rule you. Ooh, boy, I feel better now. You know, I mean, is that really what we're going for? You know, what is government? What does it do? It's a matrix. It's a mindset. It is a prison for your mind.
Who would they to lecture me?
Commodus, the Senate has its uses.
What uses? All they do is talk. It should be just you and me in Rome.
Don't even.
Yeah, we'll get the clip back. And the point, the Gladiator, that was year 2000. Now, this is before 9/11. When you're ready, Jet, just let me know. Try and start from where you dropped it off. Now, Gladiator, here you have the ultimate individual against the collective. We have the ultimate individual. We got a gladiator against Rome. You know? So what we're going to do is, there's a point I wanted to make in here. Go ahead and hit it, Jet.
To lecture me.
Commodus, the Senate has its uses.
What uses? All they do is talk. It should be just you and me and Rome.
Don't even think it. There's always been a Senate.
Rome has changed. It takes an emperor to rule an empire.
Of course, but leave the people there.
Illusions.
Traditions.
My father's war against the barbarians. He said it himself, it achieved nothing. But the people loved him.
People always love victories.
Why? They didn't see the battles. What do they care about Germania?
They care about the greatness of Rome.
The greatness of Rome. Well, what is that?
It's an idea. Greatness. Greatness is a vision.
Exactly. A vision. Do you not see, Lucilla? I will give the people a vision of Rome, and they'll love me for it. And they'll soon forget the tedious sermonizing of a few dry old men. I will give the people the greatest vision of their lives.
And what did they give them? They got to give them this sense of a battle, of war, of fear and wonder. It's not the Senate. It's the people. Yeah, he's getting that clip. But, well, we're not going to have time to give that clip this time. What it is in Gladiator, they have these senators go in there talking, and they're doing games. You know, 180 days of games. And what they did is they go, well, the people would be laughing at the emperor if they weren't so afraid of his Praetorian Guard. Fear and wonder, a very powerful combination. Now, as we've gone through the past two administrations of the Bush administration, you know, we could see this common thread. We could see this fear and wonder. This main distraction, and then, you know, if you wanted to challenge it or something, oh, they come after you, certainly if you're inside the Matrix. Now, what we want to accomplish here is we wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity to see, through the movies, you can see and feel and experience a lot of this, and you go, wow, I really liked that movie. I enjoyed it. It was a blockbuster. It made hundreds of millions of dollars. Do you know why? The reason why was because we have an inherent, deep down in us, a thing to where we're going, you know, we go for the individual, man. We like the individual good. And what we're going to go ahead and do is when we come back, there's some others I want you to kind of get an experience of, and you'll see there's a perspective. A lot of people, they'll watch different movies. Some of the current movies we won't be able to get to today, but like Serenity. You know, these young kids, they love this thing on Firefly, but they didn't know why. Why did they like it so much? Well, we're going to talk about it more when we come back. We'll start taking calls in the next hour, and we'll get to that, too. We'll talk to you in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Braveheart. Braveheart. Oh, my wife loves to watch this movie, man. I tell you, this had a big impact on her. Why? It's the individual against the man, because he messed with his woman. So I'm wanting to make sure that you understand a perspective a lot of us have, even I'm sure you have. You know, at what time do we rise up? What is it you is going to trigger your activism? And how does it be? Are you waiting till you have to actually, you know, pull out your firearms? Are you waiting till you have to go into the woods? Or is there something you can do now? You know, I saw it. We went to Jekyll Island. You know, John Stepmiller and I, we were in Jekyll Island together. And there was a movie they had one evening that they showed. And it was the Singing Revolution, and it was talking about the Eastern Bloc and when Russia started to fall and so on. They tried to bring in the tanks, and they're going to do the Czechoslovakia-Hungary thing and say, oh, you're still under our control thing, and eventually it just fell apart for financial reasons. Now, what we're hoping to have is a peaceful revolution like they had. It was against the law for them to come out and sing their old national anthem, against the law. So what did they do? They came out and sang. Hundreds of thousands of people. And it was just a movement, an understanding. At what point do you take to the streets in peaceful protest? Well, we saw it over the last couple of years. You know, revolution. You know, you can say revolution all you want, as long as you say it with love. So now we're looking at, you know, this kind of mentality, too. We're looking at, you know, just be peaceful. But sometimes it's not peaceful.
Father?
Come in.
A rebellion has begun.
Under whom?
A commoner named William Wallace.
He will embrace this rebellion, support it from our lands in the north. I will gain English favor by condemning it and ordering it opposed from our lands in the south. Sit down. Stay a while.
Yeah? Is this how it works now? We'll support it from the Republican or Democrat and oppose it from the Republican or Democrat. And you've seen R's and D's just flip back and forth. You go high enough on the pyramid, it's the same people in charge of both sides. It's a game. You know, here we had in Braveheart, you had Robert the Bruce and his father. He ran the South. You know, he's going to run the North. And you support it, and I'll oppose it, and we'll both get what we want, and we'll come out this. It's time to survive. We're going to survive this thing. So I want you to understand that, you know, this is all just how it comes. And in the end, guess what? You know, in the end, you know, it's always comes down to this.
Wallace, you stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king.
It matters
confess
not.
Confess and you may receive a quick death. Deny and you must be purified by pain. Do you confess? Do you confess? Then on the morrow you shall receive your purification.
Are you ready for your purification? It matters not. He is your king. In the end, that's what always, or somebody's your king. You know, I choose me. Can I be the king of me? I want to be king of me. You know, I don't want anybody wearing a ring, you know, power over me. Me. Am I allowed to be me? Now, this is the real question. This is where we're going. This is what, you know, this is all about. It comes down to who is your sovereign. And what did he say? I don't remember ever signing anything. I don't remember, you know, pledging allegiance to, you know, whatever. You slipped my mind. I don't recall. It matters not. He is your king. Quit begging for a king. Because it doesn't matter who it is. You're going to get one as long as you're seen as that. You know, a lot of people I would think that in the Patriot movement, they'll go on to different revolutionary kind of activities, you know, the people in the Lovevolution over the last couple of years and so on. They see a lot of young people wearing the big A, you know, the anarchist A. Now, to a lot of us, we know what that means, you know, and then hopefully the kid does. But, you know, to us, it's like, hey, you know, can I not be ruled? You know, anarchy, is that really chaos? Not necessarily. You know, a lot of people refer to it as autocracy, you know, as self-rule. You know, can I be ruler of me? And any system that you would have, constitutional of some part or not, I mean, you know, it's like Jay Leno said, you know, when they're doing the Constitution for Iraq, you know, give them ours, you know, we're not using it anymore. You know, so they have do we really know what the rights were in there? Did they have a Bill of Rights? What kind of constitution was it? Was it like ours, or did it even promise to be like ours? You know, they're going to do whatever they want anyway. They do it here. You know, so what kind of piece of paper was it? It didn't matter. It was the fact that you had a piece of paper. It matters not. He is your king. Which king? And who controls that king? If you got a king, well, you know, does the king have a boss? You know, and there has been an argument. Hans Hermann Hoppe is a philosophy professor at Las Vegas University, and he came and spoke at one of our Freedom Summits one time, and he made the case for it's better to have a king, because then you only got one guy to take out. So it was a great case. He said, look, you know, this is when you have families and kings in charge of stuff, they're in it to make money. You know, they want to increase their wealth. They want their empire to be, you know, profitable. Of course, you know, it never works because it's another form of collectivism. But at least there's an incentive to pass on to the next generation. I should get some crazy guy up there to, you know, have a better financial statement, you know, than they got. Well, you know, what's the incentive for, you know, I don't know, whatever the heck it is that we got now? What is that incentive? What is it? It's a kleptocracy. I mean, these guys are just getting their cut. They're just moseying up to the trough, trying to increase the size of the trough as much as they can. And we'll be getting into this next week. I mean, after this week, introduction, talking about this, getting to know each other, you know, we're going to start bringing in the experts. We're going to start, you know, telling you just how bad it is. And the thing that nobody ever asks, and I find this in talk radio a lot, nobody ever asks why. Why? Why would they do this? Why would they pass this law? Why would they have this threat? Why? And I tell you one why. Why would they inoculate with vaccines the entire population of the United Kingdom? And of course, you know they want to do it here too. Why? I mean, they've had 14 deaths that they say is from the swine flu, and they're going to inject everybody with this? I'm like, really? What happened last time they did? It's called the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918, where tens of millions of people died. After they gave them the vaccinations, it was because they're just getting rid of their stockpiles. We had a story on Freedom's Phoenix yesterday about it. This is dangerous. This whole philosophy of I want to have a good ruler without ever even questioning the fact, why do you have a ruler? And sure as heck, why are you begging for it? And there are ramifications of this. You start asking for this, you're going to get what you ask for. You're going to get a ruler. And what they'll offer is they come out and say, look, we're going to have this really good way of ruling you. You're going to get to say who it is. You get to, you know, have the face that's up there. And you get to go and put in your little selection in a government computer. And they're going to come out with a number. And they're going to say, okay, this guy won. Oh, and we're going to limit who can even get on there for you to pick from. And we're going to give this person some government money for them to run their campaign that we stole from you to begin with. And we're going to, you know, and you're going, oh, okay, well, let's do it. Well, I want to do it this way. I want to do it that way without even questioning the fact that they're doing it. You know, and the Declaration of Independence was so simple. The only purpose of government, defense of individual rights. And we so forgot that we're asking for, we're so worried about how we're going to get a ruler to screw us, you know, quite frankly, that we're not even asking for, can they stop? Do I have to have one? Ugh, that's what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to, and that's what this show is going to be. My whole thing, and it takes a week, it takes a year, it takes forever. No matter how long, this is what I'm going to be advocating. If I am successful in having people start to understand that you're your own worst enemy, that you're getting what you're begging for, you know, if I have an impact in that, I did my thing. That's it. That's what I'm going for. Yeehaw. Now we'll go ahead and start taking, you know, some calls here in a little bit. Let me give you out number 1-800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Now there's some more clips and stuff. We're going to have some fun. You know, I want to get this out and make sure we have this in the archive and make sure people get a good introduction what this show is about. And of course, I welcome, you know, alternate opinions and everything. And everybody's, you know, got their opinion, and we'll base it. I'll ask questions, and I'll tell you, a lot of times people come to me and I should be ready for this, but don't you think, well, you know, a lot of times maybe I don't, you know, about that particular issue. Of course I think, but you know, I may not think what you want me to think anyway, but don't you think that we, well, you know, no, and we'll talk about it. But I tell you what's going to come from me, you know, it's real simple. I'll just give you the basis for you. Even ask me the question, I'll tell you already what my mindset is. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? What's your question? Well, I guarantee you more freedom is the answer to whatever your problem is. Guarantee it. Because if it's not, then we have to change the way we are fundamentally as human beings. If it was, we were wired in such a way that, you know, collectivism worked and use of force and we're going to take and steal. We've been extinct as a species a long time ago, and now we have the capacity to make it happen. Our weaponry is getting nasty. You know, is that what, are you going to have a bigger, badder ray gun than the big bad guys? You know, is that how you're going to beat them? And I'm like, if you think that's where the battle's going, that's where you're going to make your inroads. That's how you're going to, you know, come out on top of this thing. Well, you know, then you already lost. It is a mindset, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. What I want to make sure that you get out of this is that there is a much larger revolution out here already underway. The next generation, Generation Next, has already engaged. They're in their face. You're walking around. You got a cell phone with video capability. Click on it. Boom. You're on Twitter. You got, you know, done. You're already in the revolution. And there's nothing you can do to stop the march of humanity forward into the future. Will it always be here on planet Earth? Maybe not. You know, I that's what always happened. It's amazing to me the hardship that entire groups of people, you know, religions, you know, sects, denominations, clubs, organizations, businesses, what the pains and suffering they went through to take their children on these rickety old ships for months out to sea, and they didn't have GPS. I mean, you know, this was, you know, we're off in the, you know, the wonderland here, and explorers. Well, this is going to, why would you think this would stop? They want it to, though. Let me tell you why. You can't have opposition to whatever it is that you're doing to someone if they can't even imagine opposing you, if they can't imagine life without you, if they can't even fathom that, you know, they could survive without you being there. You have to instill this, you know, well, somebody's got to fill the void. You ever heard that? Well, if you do away with this, then, you know, something else will come in. We're never having the option of nothing. Or that the option is, you know, I choose this one over here, and my neighbor down the street will choose something else. And I'll tell you where you could see this manifested. For my generation, born in 61, senior citizen of the X generation, I've gone, you know, of age, I have children starting to have children, I'll be a grandfather soon. I mean, I've gone through this process at a time in our history with technology. I was old enough to see the technology from AM radios in the cars to now what we got now. I mean, wow. You know, I grew up on Star Trek. You know, the only thing we don't have is, as far as we know, is transporters and warp drive. I mean, everything else is, you know, here it comes. So you look at this and you say, all right, how would you stop this progression of humanity, take away this vision of the future? You take away imagination. It used to be you went into the grocery store or bookstore, and science fiction would have its own entire section. There was, you know, Omni magazine, and you had different science magazines, and you had this expectation of what could come. Then you have, like, Popular Science and Popular Mechanics all bought up by Hearst and, you know, whoever else, the big bad guys. You know, you got Time Warner buying up everything. It's all collectivized. They have the same logo and the same artwork, but it's totally different. They're not forwarding. It's like a marketing piece for new weaponry, you know, for somebody that wants to get a Pentagon contract. Look at this good new whiz-bang, you know, death ray we got. You know, and by the way, there's a bunch of global warming going on. Now, I mean, it's just all this brainwashing. What happened to the science fiction, the imagination, you know, Heinlein and Hogan and Elliot Smith and all these guys that would just think about the future? What would it be like? How could you manage something? You'll talk about, you're going to get back to the Constitution kind of thing. Well, the young, are they involved in this? Are they involved? Are they going, you know, it probably didn't work out. It doesn't look like it worked out that great this time. Can we do something else? Heck, let's take a look at this Articles of Confederation thing. What was wrong with it? It wasn't centralized enough. That's what was wrong with it. Big bad guys didn't want it. You know, how difficult do you think it is to just create an entirely new government on one that nobody was complaining about, except the guys that couldn't get a central bank going? So you go, okay, well, you take a look at that. Then you look at, you know, different science fiction that people spend their lives thinking about the future, what's coming because of what's happening now, or what could be. I'll give you an example. There was one scene in a book where it had their Congress is meeting, and then they do it in an uncomfortable place in the middle of summer, no air conditioning, so you know you really want to be there. They're not having geisha girls giving them foot massages or anything. I mean, it's like you get work done. You go, the Queen has her one of her, I don't know what they call it, councils or something. They'll come in, Prime Minister, and they'll stand, and they stand. It's part of the tradition. It may go an hour or two. It's not going for all day because they're standing. It's rock and roll. Let's get it done. We're here, walking hallway, done. We're done. So it was that kind of concept. We're not going to make it comfortable. So what they did is they meet Congress somewhere uncomfortably, got them all there, and you see a board up where they have the red and green light where they voted yes or no on some particular bill. Well, in this story, they had a gentleman would get up and speak, or somebody would stand up, or you had the people up there, all the representatives up there, and you would see a number after their name, and it represented how many people they represented, and you got to pick in real time who you wanted representing you. Ron Paul would stand up, and he'd go, blah, 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 boom, his numbers would skyrocket, 20 million. He represents 20 million people. Somebody get up, representing, one, myself, I'm here myself. Then you get somebody come up and say something stupid, and they go from a million to, 200,000. I don't like that guy. This is the kind of different options that you have. You got to, but they've taken away the imagination. They don't even want you to think about it. Why? Well, we'll talk about it when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
What are we fighting for? How about some, I don't know. What do you want to describe it? Your freedom, liberty, individual liberty, self-responsibility, autonomy. We got to define these words. What do they mean? Well, the one thing, this is a good time to bring in that one cut. I want to make sure we get this in here. From Gladiator, it was done in 2000. Now, keep in mind, very popular movie, and it's right before 9/11. Okay, and it's you're looking at this military buildup and this government, this warmongering, and this kind of this industrial complex kind of thing. And Gladiator comes out in 2000, and it makes some good points.
150 days of games.
He's cleverer than I thought.
Clever. The whole of Rome would be laughing at him. They weren't so afraid of his Praetorian.
Fear and wonder, a powerful combination.
You really think the people are going to be seduced by that?
I think he knows what Rome is. Rome is the mob. You conjure magic for them and they'll be distracted. You take away their freedom and still they'll roar. The beating heart of Rome is not the marble of the Senate. It's the sand of the Colosseum. You'll bring them death. And they will love him for it.
Ooh. Now that is interesting. A distraction. It'll bring them death and they'll love him for it. Now think about what he was saying. He goes, before earlier he's talking to his sister and he's going, he's Emperor Rome, and he's going, why do they care? They're not on the battlefield. It's over there. They're not watching it. Why they like victory. They want to be the winner. America. America. We go kick some butt. Yeehaw. Team America. Okay, so what is it, a football team? What are we fighting for? We're fighting for the W? Is there principle involved at all? Do we care if we, honor our own rule book? Are we declaring war? Is Congress coming out and say we're going to do, let's go do, we had a conversation with a gentleman from at the Freedom Fest, and his whole thing, he was against only one policy of Dr. Paul, is that he would not vote for money once the soldiers were engaged, these emergency extensions and such. We're going to keep funding the war. Now, even you had Obama, the anti-war crowd, you know, they're, you know, we love Obama. And he keeps voting for extension of the wars, you know, even while he's running for president. I'm like, wow, really? I mean, seriously? This is the kind of thing that we have to insulate ourselves from. We need to understand that what we are doing is we are perpetuating the problem by asking for our own collective to take it over or be in charge of the collective, and you don't really realize that it's the collective. It's this mind thinking, this mindset that we need to be in some kind of a lemming herd, you know, that we, as long as we go jump off that cliff and do it together, it's okay. Why? Well, we're going to be talking about it some more when we come back. I want to, you know, start getting into your calls. 1-800-313-9443. What would you replace it with? Do you want to restart on, you know, what did this to us? I mean, really? Is that what you're looking for? And how would you do that? And who would you trust to be in charge of it? How's it been working out for you so far? You know, do you want to go down to a state? Do you want to, you know, merge with other countries or something? Do you want to just leave? You know, you want to be autonomous as a city? I mean, where do you want to go with this? How are we going to do it? Because that's what this is about. We're going to come down to death. There will be blood shed. There is going to be force. What happens when a family says, I'm not giving up my son, or I'm not allowing you to inject me? What happens then? Do you know? What are you going to do? You think about it. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here from Freeman's Phoenix Studios in just a little bit.